Good morning, everyone. Before we begin, let's just spend some time in a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that we can be here this morning to just come into your presence, God. It's such a privilege, Lord, that we can just be gathered here, Lord, in your name. So, Lord, today, Lord, I just humble myself, God, before you, Lord. I just pray that you, Lord, speak through me, Lord, the words that you want to say, Lord, to your people this morning. And, God, we just want to commit this time into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hi, this morning, I'd like to speak on the topic on the tabernacle, the showbread, and the will. And the text that I'd like to read at the beginning is Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5-8, and we'll also be reading a verse from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. But first, let us turn to Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5-8. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Leviticus 24, 5-8. And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. And you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, on a pure gold table before the Lord. On a pure gold table before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And then now we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So this morning I said that I'd like to speak on the tabernacle and the showbread, which is in some other translations called the bread of the presence, the bread of the face, and the will. So it's a little bit early today, and I guess it seems like there's some very dense scripture reading, but hopefully if you bear with me, it will all become very easy, clear, and vivid. And hopefully it'll be relatively new to some of you here, and it's not something that you've really heard about before. Now, as I read a passage in Leviticus on this bread, which is called the showbread, I'm going to argue and going to say that it relates actually to our lives and our will. And as we know that this bread was put on the golden table, which I will touch on later on. But for now, let's park that to a side. To be honest, Leviticus is one of the hardest books to read. And every time I read it, I want to fall asleep. Because it's actually a bit boring sometimes. But actually, though, there is a lot of symbolism in it, a lot of truths, and you actually need someone to actually just draw it out. And thank God for teachers. Now, I want to say up front, it was not me that figured all this out, right? But I actually read a book by the late Derek Prince, which mentioned this topic on the showbread in his book called Entering the Presence of God. And if you're interested in studying the scripture in a deeper level, and a clearer level, I do recommend you reading some of Derek Prince's work. Maybe some of you here are a little young, you don't know who he is. But he was one of the foremost Pentecostal Bible teachers during the second half of the last century. So from the 1960s all the way to his death in 2003. And he was a really smart guy. He studied philosophy and Greek or something like that at Cambridge. And he decided that he wanted to read the Bible as a work of philosophy. But as he read the Bible, the more he read, he felt it was actually the personal words of God speaking to him. And during World War II, he actually gave his life to God. And so he went on to have this really powerful teaching ministry, and it actually still lives on today through his radio podcasts and his books. Now, previously, we just read just now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11, it said that now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for admonition upon whom the end of the ages have come. Now, I'll just give you some context. The context here is describing the experiences of all the children of Israel during the Exodus, and it's actually a lot of bad things. But Paul says that all these stories were written and recorded for our admonition. And there is a lot of things that we can actually learn from all the stories from the Old Testament. See, it was St. Augustine that said, the New Testament is actually in the Old Testament, concealed. And the Old Testament is in the New Testament, revealed. So every story in the Old Testament is actually full of imagery and symbolism. And they do not just happen to be there randomly. But every Old Testament story has a New Testament truth in it. And I promise that there is a truth of Christ that can be revealed in each and every story. And even if we don't know about it now, I'm sure that it will 100% be revealed, or will know about it when we get to heaven? Like, why was that random story there? So then, as I continue on about this showbread, we need to understand a little bit about where this was found and take a step back, actually, to examine this thing called the Tabernacle of Moses. So if you could turn with me for a few moments to the book of Exodus, chapter 40, verse 1 to 7. Exodus 40, verse 1 to 7. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put in it the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with a veil. And you shall bring in the table, which is the golden table, and arrange the things which are to be set onto it. And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. And you shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water in it." So again, let me just give you a quick illustration as to what the above is saying, and I will detail this actually from the outside in. So imagine you're someone visiting the tabernacle, and we know that the tabernacle is divided into three sections: the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And you would have heard this concept before. So at the entrance of the outer court, so what you have here is this thing called the altar of burnt offering. And then as you walk in, you see this thing called the bronze laver, which has water in it. And then as you enter into the holy place, you have three bits of furniture, namely the table, or the gold table, and this was where the showbread was placed. You have the altar of gold for the incense, and you have the lampstand. And finally, as you entered into the Holy of Holies, you see the Ark of the Covenant on top of it, which has the mercy seat and the two cherubims which are covering it, which actually represents the very presence of God himself. And do you know that actually, if you draw out a schematic plan of the furniture layout, it actually corresponds to the shape of a cross. So you see the burnt offering altar at the bottom, then you have the bronze laver, then you have the three bits of furniture, the golden table, the altar of gold, and you have the lampstand. And then you have at the top of the cross, the Ark of the Covenant. So it actually forms a pattern of the cross. And do you think this is a coincidence? I don't think so. Because in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, it says clearly that Moses was divinely instructed to construct the tabernacle in a certain way. And God said specifically, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain." And God was really telling us in the Old Testament through the construction of this tabernacle of Moses that if you want to assess the presence of God, the only way you can do that is through the cross. And again, as you read the book of Hebrews, it reveals and argues very clearly that Jesus is our great high priest. He's a superior priest compared to the Levite priest, and it's only through the sprinkling of his blood that we are able to come boldly before the throne of God. Of course, we know that plainly now, but remember, the New Testament truths were concealed in the Old Testament. And so that given God has specifically told Moses how to construct this tabernacle, what else can we actually learn from the construction of this? What can we learn from each individual bit of furniture? And more specifically, how is this a pattern for us to actually approach God and to enter his presence? So let us start again at the door of the tabernacle. As I said, as you enter, you see the burnt offering altar. That thing is very easy to interpret. We know that Jesus was a sacrificial lamb for us. He was slain for us. And the first and foremost way for us to approach God is that we need to accept Jesus into our hearts and his sacrifice, which he did for us on the cross. And next, as I said, you saw the bronze laver with the water. This was actually a very large bowl of polished bronze filled with water. And this polished bronze was polished so well that you could actually see your reflection in it. And what people were meant to do was when you went there, you were meant to reflect at yourself and wash yourself with water. And I like to actually say that this piece of furniture represents two things in our Christian life. I think it represents baptism and also represents the Word of God. We know the pattern in the book of Acts. After the believers believed really quickly, after they believed, they were baptized almost immediately, very quickly. So similarly, I believe that actually God wants us to be baptized ASAP once we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts as our Lord and Savior. And coincidentally, this weekend is Baptism Sunday, and it's such a privilege to witness actually many people in my house church, many children in my house church actually get baptized on Sunday. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm not baptized, why are you waiting for? You know, do it ASAP. There is actually no reason to wait. And as we also know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says that we are cleansed by the washing of water with the word. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the word is the discerner of the intents and thoughts of the heart. The word of God serves actually as a reflection for our hearts. So as we see from these New Testament verses, we can understand now that as we approach this bronze laver with water, it's a time of baptism, a time of constant washing of ourselves by the word of God, and also a reflection of God's word and how it actually applies into our lives. So now we leave the outer court, which is like basic salvation stuff, Christianity 101, and we enter this place called the holy place. So here we have three bits of furniture. You have the table of gold, which the showbread is on, which we'll talk about later. You have the gold altar of incense, which I actually think symbolizes two things, prayer and worship. An interesting scripture that was brought to my attention while I was researching this topic. Don't have to turn there. Psalms 141, verse 2. It says, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." So it seems that prayer and worship actually go together, like incense going before the throne of God continually. And Revelation also talks about the prayer of the saints being rising up to God as incense. So if you want to go closer to God, to approach God in a closer way, you need to live a life of constant prayer and worship. And just like one of my favorite songs, you know that one that says, "Day and night, night and day, let incense arise." Beautiful song. Then also in the holy place, you have the lampstand, which is lighted by oil. This is a relatively easy one to interpret as well. Oil is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the lamp symbolizes that we need the Holy Spirit in our lives continually to be on fire for God and to be the light of the world. And then finally, as you enter the Holy of Holies, you have the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes the very presence of God himself. So there, nothing happened randomly and nothing was placed there randomly. God had put each individual bit of furniture there for a purpose to remind us how we can actually approach him, enter into his presence, and to grow deeper in him. And so whilst one may be actually inclined to skip these sections of the Old Testament as being boring, there is actually quite a lot of meaning to this minute detail. And we have also not spoken about the dimensions of the tabernacle. In the book of, I think, Exodus, it says very clearly the tabernacle will be measuring X cubits by Y cubits and all that. And there's actually a lot of meaning in them. I've read and heard a little bit about this meaning, but I've not studied it in more detail, so I cannot fully explain it coherently at this stage. But if you want, I should be able to point you to some good resources. But anyway, going back on topic, if you want to enter and enjoy and go deeper into the presence of God, so here is the pattern. Accept Jesus, be baptized, be washed by the word, have a life of prayer and worship, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And finally, what is this thing called the showbread? The last missing ingredient that we did not speak about. And what does this showbread on the golden table actually mean? As we know, I think that bread is the symbol of the human body, as most vividly illustrated in the Holy Communion, where Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." So I'd like to actually suggest here that the showbread talks about our persons, our lives, our flesh, and in particular, our will. And it's our will versus God's will, and how God wants to deal with our will. So as we read at the beginning in Leviticus, let us just go back to the text again from Leviticus 24, verse 5 to 8. Leviticus 24, 5 to 8. "And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes with it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. You shall set them in two rows, 6 in a row, on the pure gold table before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord, and every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually." So let us describe what we actually see here. Fine flour is used to make 12 cakes. They're set in two rows of 6. And then God asks you to put frankincense on the bread, put on the table, and it's made as an offering by fire. And this is done every Sabbath, week in, week out. As I mentioned before, appropriate translation of this bread, some people call it the showbread, but it's actually called the bread of the presence or the bread of the face. Now, whose presence is it before and whose face is it before? It's obviously God's presence and God's face. And this actually does mean that we're actually standing before God all the time, standing before His face, being inspected by Him all the time. And God precisely says, I want two rows of six bread, not 4x3, not 1x12. He specifically said 2x6. And so if anything is out of whack, if you didn't do anything correctly, or if the priest didn't do anything correctly, he wants to know why. So Derek Prince in his book lists the interpretation of what this bread means and how it relates to our lives and our will and what God wants to do with our lives. What can we learn here? And I'm going to read almost verbatim from what he's saying. He said, firstly, the bread is made of fine flour, not any other flour, but fine flour, which suggests that this flour has been bruised, refined through the constant pounding and constant sifting to make it very fine. And similarly here, God will continue to bruise our will, pound it, beat it, sift it to make it very fine, till it's very acceptable. Have you ever had a situation where you said, God, I don't want to do this, but God says, you go and do that? Or been afflicted in some form because of some mistake you did, and then you repented? All that experiences is actually the bruising of God, where He wants to bruise your will and to make it so fine that it's acceptable for Him. Secondly, we know here that it also has to be molded into a cake. This speaks about God molding us, like the potter making the clay. God will constantly mold us into His image. Thirdly, this cake is set in the oven by fire. Okay, this talks about trial by fire. Are you ready to be tested? Are you ready to be refined by fire? To be tried by fire? When the going gets tough, gets hot in Christ, how do you react? So do not think that it's strange that life gets tough. That is the refining fire of God, the furnace of affliction where God actually chooses and refines His people. Fourthly, we also see here from this passage that the bread has to be ordered. As mentioned, God says 2 rows by 6. And this is where it actually gets interesting. God has really set a set pattern for us to actually worship Him and how to approach Him. So here He just says precisely, I want it 2x6. We don't know exactly why. But remember, God told Moses, I want you to make this tabernacle and follow it exactly how I describe it to be made. So I think God has a reason for it. And you do remember some of the stories where Uzzah was struck down because he did not bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel the way that God prescribed it. They carried it on the oxen cart when it was actually meant to be carried on the poles of the priests. And so I think the lesson here that we can learn here is that do not think that we can just come in and do what we want, which is, I think, very prevalent in the modern church. People become sloppy, they have no respect for God, people come habitually late to church, miss the first part of worship, play Facebook during worship service. So if you think that pleases God, I think we got to repent of that. No, I think that God wants some order in our life. When He says 2x6, it means 2x6. And don't think we can arrange it in a circle or do whatever we want or just approach Him however we want to do so. But we need to have this reverence and this little respect for our Lord. So moving on, fifth, the bread is actually also covered with frankincense. I think, again, it talks about prayer and worship. The incense is prayer and worship. So our lives must also always be in a constant attitude of prayer and worship, like incense before God. Six, the bread must be continually displayed before God. Remember, this bread is called the bread of the face. It means we are always before the face of God, allowing God to examine us, to see us all the time. That means there's no hiding from God. We should always be transparent before God all the time. And lastly, it says that the bread must always be there fresh. Every Sabbath, the process begins again where they lay it out on the golden table. It means personally for us, it's always a constant rededication of our lives, our will, constantly before God. So all in all, I think that God wants us to be ready in His presence, and He wants to prepare us to approach Him, to be an acceptable sacrifice before Him. So as I conclude, let us think again about what all this thing means and examine ourselves in relation to this pattern, the way that God has given us to approach Him. Some people are just content to stay on the outside, in the outer court. They accept Jesus, maybe they get baptized, but they just hang around there. They do not desire to go any closer, to go any deeper. And they said, I'm contented to just be here. That is all well and good until you realize that the outer court is the only place in the tabernacle that did not have a covering over it. So you remain a spiritual infant, a babe, like Ephesians says, you're able to be tossed and turned around by the wind. And I will posit that just staying there means you are not, as Psalms 91 says clearly, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will live in the shadow of the Almighty. But by just staying in the outer court, I don't think you're living in the shadow or in the shelter of the Most High. But as you approach deeper, you go into the holy place, there is that shelter, that covering, that protection as you go deeper into God. And then finally, when you approach the Holy of Holies, you're in the very presence of God Himself, where you can share in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. So as I bring this message to a close then, let us spend these few moments to examine ourselves. Are we desiring to move closer to God? Is there any area of our lives that we are lacking based on the pattern described? Are we lacking baptism, the Word, worship and prayer? And in particular, this is, I guess, the hardest part, in our lives and our will. Is it being molded like fine flour? Is He baking us in the fire? Is He continuing to bruise us? Are we continually presenting ourselves before God? Personally, I think that's the toughest part, I think, of the Christian life, having God continually bruise you, to mold you, to refine you. But I mean, God has put all these furniture in the tabernacle as a pattern for us to approach Him. And I think it's actually a very clear way that we can actually think about it in our heads. So I'm just going to, I guess, play some music. And in this time, yeah, just pray and ask God, is there any way, any area in our lives where we can submit more to Him? Such love. Let's turn our attention now to the Saturday prayer items. Let's pray for members of our community who have undergone cancer or are undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Just pray for God's complete healing for all the members here. Let's pray for members of a community who know people that are sick, but more importantly, they need God's salvation. Let's just pray. Let's pray for members of a community that are sick and are battling various illnesses. Pray for God's complete healing to just come upon them. Pray for members of a community that are looking for jobs. Just pray for divine opportunities and that they'll know God as the provider in this season. Just pray. let's turn our attention to the Saturday prayer focus. Let's pray for our missions in North Korea. Pray for open doors for ministry and protection for our ministers there. Let's pray for general missional opportunities and partnerships in the Greater Asia region. And also pray for the persecuted church, especially in the Middle East, in Syria, in Iraq, and Egypt. Just pray for God to just be their comfort and to be their strength. Let us pray. Let's pray for the various SP gatherings that are happening this weekend. Just pray for Holy Spirit to be leading those meetings and ultimately for Jesus to be glorified and that people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Let's pray specifically for our baptism Sunday. Just pray that through the testimonies of the various people, that people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ will just come to know Him and to know His salvation through the testimony. So let's just pray for a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit with Jesus tomorrow. Let us pray. Pray for SP 2.0, our new building and resources, and the benefactor that to be generous and to donate the building in the right time. Also pray for the hearts of our church, the congregation, that we'll be ready to move into this new place and to move on with God when He calls us. Let us pray. Thank you. Father, let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Fortress, Mawan, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside. Let's just lift them up and cover them in prayer. So Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that we are gathered here this morning, God, to hear your word, to worship, to pray, Lord God. Such a privilege, Lord God. So Lord, may our prayer, Lord, today, Lord, our prayers, Lord, rise up, Lord, as sweet incense, God, before your throne, Lord God. And Lord, may you just hear us, Lord, in your opportune time, Lord God, and answer, Lord, the various prayers, God, and the various requests, God, that have been put up to you today, the various petitions, God, that have been put up to you today. So God, we love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you desire to be with us and for us to grow closer and deeper in you. And you've given us the pattern, Lord God. You've given us an example of how to do that. So Lord, we love you, Lord. We worship you, God. Lord, we just pray and bless the rest of this for today and bless the rest of the weekend, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your personal devotion time.